Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I always looked at that rewarder part of that verse. The rewarder part is kind of what really started out the desire to seek God. Because I was so desperate and needed so many things in my life that, I mean, I needed money, I needed friends, I needed clothes, I needed, you just about name the need, I had the need. And I needed to be rewarded. I needed some reward. I needed some things. And God began to speak to me as a young Christian about how important it was to not just casually seek the Lord, but to diligently seek him. So that word diligent became important to me. You know, the reward got my attention, but then the Holy Spirit, he began to say, there's something about diligence. Now, diligence is almost a lost art in our society. People are always trying to slide by. You know, they're the kind, most folks that go to work every day, they usually just, you know, barely get there on time. They slide in at the skin of their teeth and just hit the time clock just a minute before it's time to be there. They're not real diligent about being faithful on time. They're not very diligent about, there's a lot of things about, the word diligent is an extremely important word. Because the word diligent means that you set it in your heart to get it done. You know, you're not going to let this be for nothing. You're going to be diligent about this. You're not, in other words, let's just see if we can put some more words to this word diligent. Let's put some more adjectives to this word diligent. Not a slacker, not a slothful person, not somebody who just, like I said, slides by. Barely gets by, does what they want to do, when they want to do it. Because that kind of person's not going to have the reward. If you want to be rewarded in God's way of doing things, you're going to have to learn something called diligence. That means you keep on, keeping on, keeping on, even when you don't feel like keeping on. When you don't feel like being on time, you're on time. When you don't feel like praying, you pray. When you don't feel like reading the word, you read the word. When you don't feel like seeking God, you seek God. When you don't feel like believing God, you believe God. It has nothing to do with how you feel. You don't even consult your feelings when you're a diligent person. Because when I was diligently working for a boss, I didn't worry about how I looked or how I felt. If I knew I had to be on time, I was on time. I was diligent to be on time. There's something about being diligent. I had to drive 65 miles one way to punch a time clock at 7:30 in the morning in Lexington. And I held that job for 4 years over there. 20 years I worked in dentistry. I was never, very seldom, ever, ever late in 20 years of working for another person. I would say I was a diligent person. Would you not say in the natural realm? There's a lot of people that are diligent that are not even Christians. A lot of people. I mean, they don't think about God, talk about God, don't think about, but they're diligent when it comes to their work. They're diligent about how they look. They get up and they make sure they're well-groomed, their clothes are ready the night before. They make sure they got it together. They're diligent about how they look. They look good. They appear good. They take a bath every day. They're diligent about being clean. They're diligent about taking showers and washing their bodies. They're diligent about a lot. You could just name anything and you could say, I'm diligent with that. I can tell you right now, I'm diligent in that area. I'm very diligent when it comes to certain things. Cleaning a house. Some women, some men, they are diligent about keeping house. They make sure their clothes are picked up. I learned a long time ago a secret about keeping house. I learned to pick up after myself after I go along. In other words, it's easy just to come in and throw stuff everywhere. And then next thing you know, if you don't pick up after yourself, The next time you come in, you're throwing stuff everywhere. And then it starts a pile. Starts to pile up. So if you pick up after yourself, instead of laying something down, you just put it away. That's called being diligent. Wouldn't you say that's being diligent? That's being consciously thoughtful about what you do with your day, your time, and your energy. That's called diligence. So it's so simple to really train yourself. Let me tell you what I'm really big in. Brushing my teeth. I'm the most diligent person about brushing these teeth of mine of anybody you've ever met, ever. And I floss after I brush. And I brush for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. No hit and miss with me. I'm diligent. Every tooth gets thoroughly brushed. The gums get thoroughly cleaned out. I am so diligent about taking care of my person and my teeth. For one thing, I looked in somebody's filthy mouth for 20 years. It makes you think about teeth when you have a job like that. And you take care of teeth. People neglect their teeth something pitiful. I ain't never seen such stuff. But a lot of it's just because they've never been diligent. It takes discipline to be diligent. It takes being disciplined with your actions and your energy and your time to be diligent in any area. I don't care if it's teeth, washing your head, putting on your makeup, getting yourself dressed, getting yourself to work on time, getting yourself to church on time. All of that is a part of your character, who you are, and the word bottom line of it goes down to being diligent. Now, we're talking here about something spiritual today. And you know, for some reason, we all kind of think that we can set spiritual things on the sideline. We can set spiritual things aside and think, well, God knows and God understands and God will overlook me and God will forgive me and God's merciful and I can just live any old way for God I want and I don't have to be so diligent about God. But I better be diligent about that job. I better be diligent about how pretty I look. I better be diligent about fixing my hair. I better be diligent about this and I better be diligent about that. But they put God on the sideline about being diligent. Diligence with God is a big deal. Or it wouldn't be right here recorded. Because he's the rewarder of the diligent. Diligent in seeking him. Diligent in looking to him. Trusting him. That's the one thing too I can say. God knows I've been diligent to seek his face. Diligent. Because I know God's watching. God's paying attention. You think that boss really knows I punched that time clock every time on time? I don't think they're up there looking at it every time I walked in. Is she on time? Maybe they were. I did that for me because I want to be diligent. But God is watching our diligence toward him. And our greatest desire should be diligence toward God. There's a record being kept of our diligence. There's a record being kept of how diligent we are. How diligent are you about not talking about your neighbor? Oh boy. Oh boy. If you know you're not supposed to talk about nobody, if you know you're not supposed to cuss nobody and be mad at nobody and not hold grudges against anybody, that's an area to start working on and being diligent in that area. Wouldn't you say? If I can be diligent to brush my teeth 3 times a day or 2x a day for 5 minutes every day and consciously do that, I can consciously not talk about somebody. You think? That's called being diligent. But there's a diligence in that. There's something called diligence in our behavior. It's something we train ourselves to do, being diligent in. But I want to read this verse now, and I want you to focus on this word diligent, because this word right here really has to be centric, has to be center, front and center. Because we have to understand that without faith, we cannot please God. In fact, the word impossible, we could spend about 10 minutes talking about the word impossible. Now, you mean to tell me God, there's something impossible with God? I thought God could do anything. I thought God could be anything. God could do anything. You're telling me it's impossible for God to do something? No, surely not. With God, all things are possible, right? But what's this impossible thing about God? Because I never read anything in the Bible about God having an impossibility. Everything's so possible with God. Can't God do anything? Can't God just be anything? Can't God go anywhere? Diligent part. And the impossible part with God. So if God came along and said, Teresa, it's impossible for you to be diligent. It's impossible for you to be on time. It's impossible for you to brush your teeth twice a day. I mean, there's certain things that are impossible for me to do. Like I can't change my hair by snapping my fingers. Mm-hmm. I can't grow an inch by taking thought. There's a lot of things I cannot do if I really want to do it. Even if I want to do it, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It would be impossible. But the things that are possible for me to do, he expects me to be diligent in it. He expects me to be diligent in those things I can do that are right and good things. And there's a lot of things that we are not diligent about because we just take God for granted and say, oh, well, God's a good God and he can do anything. But if you really examine this verse here, that it's without any faith, it's an impossibility to get God's attention and favor and good things in your life. Really, that's what he's saying. The pleasing part has to do with getting God's attention because God will pay attention to somebody who believes him. God will run over 10 million people to get to the person who believes him. Believing is a very powerful thing we can do. If I can brush my teeth, I can have faith. Because it says it's an important thing to have. And how do you get faith? Well, I believe it's in this verse right here. The diligent part is how you get faith. You get faith because you're diligent to seek him. See, when I read the scriptures these days, I hear things and see things I know some folks don't see and some folks don't hear. So I'm breaking it down here this morning. The seeking part is the word part. The seeking part is the word of God. You cannot seek God outside of his word. His word is him. He is his word. He is the word of God. So when you're seeking the word of God, praying the word of God, reading the word of God, you're seeking God. That's what it is. So you're seeking him, seek word. Diligently seek word. Diligently seek the way he thinks. Diligently seek the way he looks at life. Diligently seek his face. Diligently seek God. Diligently seek. Seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh, it's open to them. The thing about seeking God is that we can do it and we can be diligent in doing it. And that means consistently, never stopping, never quitting, never giving up, never letting anything slow you down, just being diligent in seeking God. Ever saw the Ever Ready Bunny? I feel like that sometimes. No matter what I feel, no matter how ugly people can be to me, no matter what anybody says, no matter what circumstances I find myself in, I have to keep going on for God because this word diligently will stop me. It won't let me stop. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Even though it's so wonderful, powerful God we have, and nothing's impossible, right? But it is. It is. There is some impossibilities. Pleasing God is an impossible thing in your life if you don't have faith in him. You don't have faith in him, you're not pleasing God. And I don't want to not please God because the reward's attached to pleasing God. There is a reward attached to pleasing God. God. Everybody see that? There's a reward here. When I go to work those 4 years in Lexington from Springfield, Kentucky, and I drove all those miles, do you think that boss come along and said, boy, you're a good employee. You were here on time. You drove 65 miles one way and you were on time. I'm going to reward you for that. You're just the best employee. I never once got a pat on the back for being on time. Never once. Not one time did they make a big deal about that. Not one time did I get a bonus for being on perfect attendance and perfectly on time every single day that I had to be there. Not one time did I get a reward for that. But I was diligent to be there. See, God's a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is the rewarder. He is my reward. He is my treasure. He is your treasure. And see, this is where we got to start thinking right. This is where we got to get rid of our stinky thinking and start seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And think of, and understand God, how He thinks and how He sees things. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Impossible to please God. I mean, even though God can do anything, this is one thing that's impossible with God. God can do anything. Nothing's impossible to Him that believes. And we know God can do anything. But God's not pleased with nobody and somebody that doesn't have faith. God is not pleased with people who do not have faith. Faith people are supposed to have faith. Faith. Now, I'm going to share something here a little bit about faith. If we know that it's impossible to please God without faith, let me put it to you this way. If you have just an ounce of faith, let's just say an ounce of faith is in this cup, would you say God is pleased? If it's impossible to please Him without it, then we know that an ounce of faith is an ounce worth of pleasing. God's got an ounce worth of pleasing for me. I got an ounce of faith. So it's my ounce of faith that I bring to God, and I please Him with my ounce of faith. What if I had a cup full of faith? Then God would have a cup full of pleasing. Mm-hmm. Do y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, what if I worked really hard and was really diligent and began to seek God and became very diligent about seeking God and finding out how God thinks, finding out how God believes, finding out what God wants, and I started stretching out a little bit, making room for some more faith, stretching out and getting some more faith in my wherever I keep faith in my spirit man. And what if now I started exercising that faith and started really pleasing God with a gallon of faith? What if I had a gallon of faith? Do you know faith is measurable in the heart and mind of God? Faith is measurable. It's measurable. Jesus talks about, great is your faith. He told the Syrophoenician woman, great is your faith, O daughter. Great is your faith. He told the centurion, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. So we know there is little faith. There's all kinds of measurements in faith. The Word of God talks all kinds of places about faith being measurable. You can't get away from Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him. I want to please God because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek faith. The Word of God says God is love. So if I'm seeking love, I'm seeking God. Jesus said to the disciples in Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. So we know God has faith. He's a faith God of a faith people. And He also says that... He also talks a lot about patience. Patience has to be there for faith to work. The patience have her perfect work, the Bible says in James. So we have got to understand that diligence, being diligent, is the key to pleasing God. And diligence is not something people like to do because it requires work, requires effort. It requires you to sacrifice. It requires me to sacrifice. It requires me to give up my time. But let me tell you what, the reward to grow your faith and develop your faith and develop your spiritual faith walk with God is so worth it. Well worth it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now, let me just pause right here, and I want to talk a little bit about for he that cometh to God. We're here. We're all believers here. We've all come to God. Every single one of us in this room have come to God at some point. You probably remember the moment it happened. Everybody here has at one point come to God. And if you've backslidden, you've walked away from God. And then you have to turn around and come back to God, okay? But most Christians just kind of live an even kind of life, and they feel like they're getting along okay. And, you know, they pray once in a while, and they, you know, they read the word, and they get in trouble, they run to God. But they don't ever feel like they've ever turned their back on God. You know, I'm talking about you come to God. You come to God one time. You get redeemed once. You do not get redeemed. You don't get born again every time you sin. You don't get reborn again every single time you sin. You got born again once. Everybody understand that? That's just the way it is. Jesus became the curse so we could be made righteous. He redeemed us. We're redeemed. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, right? We're bought with a price. We were bought with a price once. We were redeemed once. We were taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated in the kingdom of light. That's a fact. That's just something that absolutely we as enlightened believers know and understand. Sinners don't understand it, but we know we better get the lost saved. We've got to get people redeemed. We got to get people brought into the kingdom of God. That's just what has to happen. If you've got somebody who's lost and going to hell, you better get them redeemed because they're going to split hell wide open. Hell is real. So we got to get people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We got to bring them to God and give them preach the word to them and let them understand that there is a real God, there is a real heaven, there is a real hell, and you need to repent of your sins and you need to turn to God and you need to get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You need to accept the sacrifice that God, there's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of Jesus. We as believers understand that. Now, we did that. We've done that. As a believer, I did that. I don't even remember how I did it, but I did it. Must have been the mercies of God I did it. Somebody was praying for me. I got redeemed. I got born again. Remember the day I got born again. But then from that point on, you could say at that point in 1978, I come to God. I came to God. Did I stop coming to God just because I got born again that one time? See, we're in the family. You got born again. God is now your father. Jesus said that he told the Jews, he says, if God was really your father, you would do what he does. But she says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, the devil, you will do. So when you come to God, we have to understand that there is a change happens. Believers have a heart change. It's called being born again. Taking out that stony heart and getting a heart of flesh put in you, that you can know the will of God, want the will of God, desire the will of God. And then something happens to you that you start seeking God. I never sought God before I got born again. I didn't even know there was a God. I mean, I kind of heard about him, but I didn't know how real he was. But now that I know God, or rather are known of God, I begin to seek God. And I began to realize that his eyes are up on me and his ears are open to my prayers. That he is a real and alive God who's keeping record of every single thing I think, every single thing I do. There is records being kept in heaven. When I was a sinner, do you think I thought about any of that stuff? No. Did whatever I please. My flesh said go do that, I did it. I wanted to go to sleep, I went to sleep. Want to get drunk? I got drunk. Whatever I wanted to do, pretty much, I didn't worry about God looking at me, thinking about me. But as believers, we better get diligent about knowing this thing, that God is watching. God is keeping record. God knows every single... In fact, David said, he knows your thoughts afar off, and there's not a word in your mouth, but he knows it altogether. He knows every motive of your heart. He knows every reason you do what you do. And he knows those who diligently seek him. Because he's ready to reward you for that. He's the rewarder to those who do this. I'm very aware of that. I'm so aware that my father is paying attention to me when I'm seeking him. My father is very aware of my diligence toward him. He's very aware that I am very diligent about pleasing God and doing what he asks me to do. If God gives me a job, I'm diligent to do it. I'm not a slacker. Do you know how many slackers God's got in his family? A bunch. I woke up this morning and I had a mini dream, and I saw a lot of Christians that God's getting ready to do some smackdown on. Ever have a bunch of unruly children and just slackers? God's getting ready to do some smacking down. Smackdown time. And he does it because he loves us. It's time to be diligent about seeking God. This sliding by kind of stuff and God just mamby-pambying around with all of us is over. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, then you come and pray, and then you come and bawl and squall because you've made a mess of things, and you want God to fix it, just instantly fix it, when you spent 2 years messing it up. And God's supposed to come along and instantly fix it. It's coming a day that isn't going to happen anymore. Because if you were doing the things, that the due diligence you were supposed to be doing, if you were doing the diligence that you were supposed to be doing on a regular basis, you wouldn't be messing up stuff. You wouldn't be talking about people. You wouldn't be cheating people. You wouldn't be lying on people. You would be getting yourself diligently ready to meet the king. And not just meet the king, but live in the kingdom. It's really coming to a place where now the body of Christ has got to live in the kingdom. We got to live with the king in the kingdom every day. Not just when you die and go to heaven. Most of us put off living right until we die. Well, God will say, I'll forgive me, Lord, and then we'll go on to heaven. I'm wondering how many Christians will really be in heaven. They think they're going to make heaven by living any old way they want to live. They're not diligent in being faithful. They're not diligent in praying. They're not diligent in reading the word. They treat their neighbor any way they want to treat them. I would rather give you the shirt off my back than to think that God might be mad at me because I wasn't good to you. I am so conscious of God's awareness of my life and everything I do. Everything. Everything I have belongs to him. I haven't got one single thing in my apartment or in my home, in my life, that he did not give me. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you act like you didn't receive it then? There's a lot of pride in the body of Christ that needs to be uprooted. It's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to happen. A lot of pride is getting ready to shook out of people. Is that a word? Shook? Shaken. Some pride is getting ready to be shaken out of some folks who think they're something. And there's somebody. You know, pride goes before a fall. A haughty spirit before destruction. I'm telling you, the body of Christ cannot live like the world and think they're going to get away with it. Judgment must begin in the house of God. And God showed me this morning in a dream that there's coming some shaking in the body of Christ. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. There's coming a shaking of the word. A shaking of the word. But let me tell you, the good news is, if you've been a diligent believer and you've been diligently seeking God, knowing his eyes are upon you, his ears are open to your prayers, that your conscience is right before God, if you know that everything you've done has been pleasing to God, and if you don't please God, you're quick to say, I'm sorry, and get it under the blood instantly. You don't let it kind of go on. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, right? If you've been diligent about seeking God and pleasing God, You done your shaking stuff already. You've took care of a lot of shaking already in your life by being diligent. Diligence will take care of a lot of the things that God's going to have to shake out of some folks they ain't took care of because they've been slackers. Slackers. There's children of God that are slackers. They don't worry about anything. God's merciful, you know. God will understand. I used to hear a preacher, I had a pastor years and years ago that would talk about. He preached a hard line. One of the first pastors, powerful man of God, and he used to say, God will understand. God will understand right there. When you go to hell, God will understand. There's people in hell God understood why they were the way they were. A lot of people, God understands why they're there. Just because God understands has nothing to do with dismissing your sin. Because sin will be judged. God is a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy, but it's all about you seeking him, seeking him. I diligently seek God. I'm afraid of God. Anybody here afraid of God? Amen. I got a godly, healthy fear. You better have a godly, healthy fear of how to treat people. You see, God showed me something, and let me just be honest with you. There is one commandment. There is one commandment that we all, as believers, are commanded to live by. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. See, as a Jew under the old Jewish covenant, he had to live by the Ten Commandments. All the ordinances were crucified to his flesh. And he said, there's a new commandment coming. The New Testament and the new commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. He said, on that one commandment hangs every ordinance, every law, every other thing you could possibly read in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. It hinges on that one law. Amen. That's the law of love. And you know where the law of love begins? It begins right in here. It begins right in here with me. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where diligence comes in. You could be the meanest, hatefulest, most yuck person ever. Depressed all the time, mad all the time, upset with people all the time. You could be so self-centered. You could be the most selfish, self-centered believer that exists on the planet. I've met a few. Has anybody met a few believers that are just still all about them?
Amen.
What is God going to do for me now? What if God don't answer that prayer now? What's going to happen now? What's all about me now? You see, God will deliver you from self. His word will deliver you from self. It's the most unraveling of self I've ever found. Love your neighbor as yourself? Well, if you did that, if we really loved our neighbor as ourself, would that not fix a few things? I'm going somewhere with this message because it's all about faith. It's all about faith. It really is. Let's look at Mark. I want to go to Mark chapter 9. Keep in mind this man. Mark chapter 9. And we see where Jesus is met, starting with verse 14. Let's just start with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he saith, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You will, if you can help, please help. If you can, please just have mercy and do it. Isn't that what you hear him saying here? The people who are coming to him, if you can help, please help. If you can. But look what Jesus said in verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Did he just do what I think he just did? He put faith, he put the responsibility back on the person. Did he not? If you can't believe, can you believe? Yes. See, were God to tell us to do something that's impossible, then it would be unfair of him to expect us to seek him concerning faith. It'd be impossible. But we've got to see through all the scriptures. I don't remember one time where Jesus made anybody sick. Did Jesus ever make anybody sick?
No.
He was the Father. He told Philip, says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did Jesus ever, ever put sickness on anybody ever? But a lot of responsibility he did put on people. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Did Jesus just say what I think he said? I mean, did my ears hear that? Do you have an ear to hear this? I mean, I think sometimes we need to get something, clean our ears out, because I don't think we're hearing what Jesus just said. All things. Did he say a few things? Big things, little things. How many things? All things are possible. Problem. It's not impossible with God. All things are possible. Another place he says that with God, all things are possible. But these people had some desperate things that came to God with. Anybody here have some desperate things they've had to come to God with in their life? And they always come and you say, oh God, if you can do this, I know you can do it. Now I know you can do it, but will you do it? Will you do it? Let me plead on your mercy here. Well, I'm going to talk you into it. You know, we'll spend a lot of time talking God into being good to us. We'll spend a lot of time trying to talk God into healing us or talk God into delivering us. When it's not about God not being willing to heal us or deliver us or help us with our problem, it's us he's waiting on to be diligent with our faith. Do something with your faith, child of God. Get diligent with your walk with God. Get diligent with your servants with God. Your service to God is important to God. He's paying attention to you. And he would, and the thing I've learned about the Lord is if he would say this to another human being, he would say it to me in the exact situation right now. If he would say these words to this man, he would say it to me right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He said, I change not. So he says, if you can believe. So there's some responsibility here on the believer. And this is a man who's not even born again. Hadn't even been redeemed. Isn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't have the Holy Spirit on board inside his spirit. He's not been reborn. He's not a regenerated human spirit. He doesn't know how to walk with God and talk with God out of his human spirit. All they had was the old covenant to live under. That's the best they had. It was better than nothing because the heathen was completely without God. But here's the Son of God, the very, very one that God sent to be sacrificed for your sin. And he's saying to him, what can you believe? What can you believe? Can you believe? If you can believe, all things are possible. I like that. That gives me something to work for. It gives me a goal. You mean, I don't have to beg and plead and ask you to please heal me and talk you into it? No, you just got to believe. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. He's bigger than your problem. Look at Mark 11. I can't go without going since we're right here. Flip over Mark 11. In 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Now, how do you have the God kind of faith? In the literal translation, it's like, okay, he's not saying something that intangible. It's a very tangible thing to have faith. Well, but faith is a very intangible substance. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. How can you possibly have faith? And you don't see it, you don't feel it? Because if you are somebody who's diligently seeking God, you understand what faith is. You understand faith. You can really understand it because you're diligently seeking God. Seeking his word. Seeking revelation knowledge. Seeking understanding of the Most High. Understanding how heaven operates. Do you know what I think that God has given me? The greatest thing God ever gave me was insight to heaven. What's like in heaven right now? What's going on in heaven right now? Do you realize that it is a complete reversal of life from here? Activity there is totally reversed. You know how somebody does us wrong here? We'd say, pay me what you owe me. You hurt my feelings. You pay me. You took from me. You owe me. You did me wrong. You hurt my feelings. You said something bad about me. You pay me back. Owe me. You owe me. You owe me. We get angry, don't we? When somebody hurts our feelings or does something wrong, we're ready to get them. Hold their pedal to the metal. Put their nose to the grindstone. Suffer, suffer, suffer. Pay, pay, pay. I'm not kidding you. That is the way most Christians live. You owe me. How many times have I had to let stuff go? I've walked away from three houses, three homes I left, three homes I walked away from them. I gave them to God. That's my reward. God is my reward, not people. God's my reward. He's the one who rewards me because I diligently seek Him. I seek His way of thinking. I seek His way of doing things. I seek the way He believes. I seek the way He wants. I seek God. And I give Him every misgiving. I give Him every fault. I give Him every wrong thing. Everything anybody's ever done wrong to me, you know what? I can forgive it and forget it at the drop of a hat because I've been diligent to work on that area of my life. Diligent about brushing my teeth. But I'm diligent in forgiveness. The forgiving area is an area that most people are not diligent in at all. But see, I've been diligent to seek God. God says, bless your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. Bless them that despise you. Bless them to take the advantage of you. Bless them? I'm supposed to be mad at them and try to get even with them and make them pay and sue them at the law and get even and stuff them, pay, pay, pay. Justice, justice, justice. I'll tell you what, the Word of God says, mercy rejoiceth against just judgment. I've learned to be merciful to my enemies. I've learned to just, you want something from me, honey, I'll just give it to you. You want something from me? You got it. I'll give you anything I got. Go up here and take all my clothes out of my closet. I don't care. God will just give me more. Take my car. I don't care. Take it. God will give me a better one. Because God is my rewarder. I don't worry what people do to me. I don't hang on to the things of this life because this stuff is going to all perish anyway. Do you know you're not going to take nothing with you? I ain't taking one thing with me. When they put my body in that casket, it's already gone. I'm already out of here. We think we're going to take stuff with us to heaven? No. Taking nothing with you. But see, I've been seeking God. I've been diligent to seek how He thinks, how He feels, what pleases God. What does please God? Do you know what pleases God? When I forgive my enemies. Whoo, I just got some big brownie points in heaven. Yahoo. I mean, God says, do you see that one over there? Do you see that little one over there? She just forgave her enemies. Jesus said, He said, if someone sues you at the law for a coat, give him both your coat and your cloak. That's the way God thinks. Heaven is not like this world. We hang on to things, and we hang on to judgments. We hang on to prejudices. We hang on to all this yuck stuff. We won't forgive nobody for nothing because they don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't care. I don't deserve to be forgiven either. But I forgive because God said forgive. I'm diligently seeking God's way. I'm living it out diligently. My flesh don't like it no more than your flesh likes it. My flesh don't like loving people that ain't lovely any more than yours does, but I do it by faith. Everything I do in the kingdom is by faith. I love my enemies by faith. I forgive people by faith. I give by faith. I tithe by faith. I'm honoring God by faith. There's nothing I do that isn't by faith. Because anything that's of works is not pleasing God. Because it takes faith to please God. Y'all getting what I'm sharing here? So Jesus has made many statements that without faith it's impossible to please God. What's the things that you desire? I'm getting ready to read this verse here. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There's faith. Faith is simply believing God. Faith is just believing the Word is the truth. Faith is just believing God. Have faith in God. God thinks in those terms. God thinks in faith terms. We think in works terms. But God thinks in faith terms. Faith is a high way of standard of life. Hey, let's faith it. Let's not fake it. Let's faith it. Let's fake. People fake their Christian walk. But if you're faith in your walk, you walking in faith, You're not faking it anymore. You're the real deal. And God's going to honor that. Whatever you commit to Him, He will honor. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a good God. How to live by faith? How do you live by faith? How do you live by faith? You live by the Word. How do you live by the Word? You believe it. What do you mean? You don't feel it? You don't have experience? You don't have evidence? No, I just believe it because God said it. God says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Believe God's big. Believe God's great. Believe God loves you. Believe God wants to bless you. Believe God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. And your level of Word is your level of your faith. How much faith do you have? Well, really, it's not even about your level of Word. Let me say that again. It's not about how many scriptures you can quote. It's how many scriptures you can live in your life. Amen. Can you live the Word? Can you live that scripture like it's true? Because when you start seeing that God is His Word, the Word is God, that's what we're measured by. That's what we're measured by. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. And I won't preach another hour or share another hour here. Romans chapter 12. See, I'm a diligent person when it comes to the things of God. I'm very diligent when it comes to God. And I told the Lord the other day, I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I've been made fun of my whole life because I've been diligent towards you. I've been made fun of. My family's run me off. I've had people talk about me. I'm sure they're talking about me to this day. You know that crazy girl that used to live up that holler that witnessed everybody? Where did I tell you to go? Romans? Romans chapter 12. Well, I've been diligent. Anybody here with me? Amen. Are we all going to get more diligent? Amen. I'm going to get diligent, more diligent than y'all been diligent. I'm going to get way diligent, more diligent than I've ever been diligent. Let me show you what diligence really will do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, for years and years, I'd read this verse and I'd say, okay, let's focus on what I really can work on. When you get born again, you start reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit will only give you what you can handle. I mean, He won't just cram a whole steak down your throat. But as you grow in the things of God, then the things that He requires of you become a little bit bigger. You get a little bit more requirements going on. Okay? I don't want you just to be diligent in just praying now. I want you to be diligent in how you treat people. I want you to be diligent now in some other areas. It's like you grow in this thing of diligence, okay? So now I understand there's something about called proving God. That word prove. See, when I first started reading the Word of God, the main thing was I had to first figure out how do I present my body? How do you do that diligently? How do you present your body diligently to God? Just present your body. Do that on a diligent basis. Do that on a consistent, diligent basis. That means when you're supposed to go to church, you go to church. When you're supposed to go to bed, you go to bed. You're diligent to do the things you're supposed to do. When you're supposed to pray, you pray. When you know there's a revival going on, you go to the revival. Those were diligent things I learned to do. I could do that with my body because it's with my body. I can tell my body when to get up. I can tell my body when to go to church. I can tell my body what time to be at church. I can tell my body I can tell my body a lot of things. I can be diligent in my body, presenting my body. But let me show you the thing that most believers have yet to step into being diligent in. It's the last part of this. Right here, this verse right here. Everybody got down the diligent part of presenting your body? We all should have that done by now. The verse 2, we got to be diligent in not being conformed to this world. Well, that should not be hard either. We know the world. Because we come out of the world. We're not of the world. We were in the world, but we're not of the world. We're still here, but we're not conformed to the world. We've been diligent in not talking like the world. We don't cuss like the world, do we? I don't, because I don't want to talk like the world. I'm not conformed to the way they think, the way they talk. So I've been diligent in changing the way I think according to the Word of God. I don't lie, because that's what the world does. I'm not conformed to that. I've conformed to the heaven way of thinking, the heaven way of life. Okay, so that's the other diligent thing I do. Then the other one is that I renew my mind diligently. I definitely been doing that. Seeking God, seeking God's word, finding out how God thinks, trying to conform to that, seeking God. But let me show you what the rest of this says. This word that in that verse, that you can do something. Remember Jesus told the man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If thou canst believe all things, look what he says. If you, that you may prove, that you may prove. Oh, you mean God's supposed to, I thought God was supposed to do all the work. I thought God was supposed to do everything. I thought God was the one pulling all the strings. No, he says, you prove it. You, with your faith, you prove that God is true. You prove what's good. You prove that it's Jesus' word is the truth. When he said, all things are possible to him that believeth, you prove that. You do it. And the way you do it is by doing the other verse, part of the verses. But a believer has got to come to a place where the shaking's coming in the body of Christ is this right here. Are we able to prove? Can we prove it? Can I believe? Can you believe for anything? I can believe about anything. I believe I could believe about anything I could possibly need. Last Sunday's message was such a powerful word from God. When you all have got a CD, let me tell you, God is getting ready to raise up a body of believers who can prove what is good, what is perfect, and what is acceptable. We're going to be the ones proving God's true. God's always wanted to show off, but he's just waiting on somebody to believe him. He's just waiting on us to start being diligent. Now, if it can't even be a church on time, or even get to church, period, there's something wrong with proving God in that other area being good and perfect, acceptable will of God. See, the body part should be already something we've got down. If you've been a Christian very long. Now, baby Christians, I understand. We give them time to grow and develop and these things. But the older we are in the Lord, the more God requires of us. I don't know about y'all, but God requires a lot out of me. He requires me to be good to people. Mm-hmm. And it's coming a day that if you don't, you're going to get some smacking down going on in your life. He chases those he loves. I can't just talk about anybody in the way I want. Hallelujah. It's Galatians.